Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Colts Cast. He is Jamal Lawrence. I am Eric Smith.
Yo, yo.
The Colts Cast. Hey, you know,
talk that greasy talk.
Well, we didn't say nothing. We didn't say nothing to the Raiders fans that came in our pod last episode. But Raiders Nation, who?
Bruh.
The Indianapolis Colts take down the Las Vegas Raiders at home 23-20 in a must-win territory, essentially, eliminating the Raiders from the playoffs in the process. All those Raiders fans who came for us, talk that talk. Where y'all at now? Let me know what y'all order from Pizza Hut in a few weeks. I heard they got eliminated from postseason special going on. Hey, all jokes aside, let's talk about the Colts. The Colts aren't in the clear yet. No. They have about a 50% chance to make the playoffs at this point, and it really hinges on this Bengals-Chiefs game that's going on right now. Looks like Bengals are up 17-13 at half. Wow, shocker. Chiefs losing at home. So if the Chiefs end up beating the Bengals today, the Colts can make the playoffs with just a win. So they'll be able to control their own destiny. My mind will settle well knowing that we just have to beat the Texans next week. But if the Bengals do end up winning, the playoff picture gets a little murky for us and there's caveats. I don't like that because I just want a clear path to victory. And that starts with the Bengals losing tonight. But let's talk about this win, though. You know, Jamal, let's switch it up. We always start with the offense. Let's start with the defense first.
But hey, before we get into defense, though, hey, y'all listening, we know you're here for one reason. That's to learn about Colts Nation and this W. So go ahead and please make sure you like, subscribe, comment below your thoughts on this game because we're about to break it all down for you right here, Eric. Go ahead and talk about the defense.
All that. Well, so it feels like every time we lose, we get some fans who just fire Gus Bradley, you know, because the defense ends up playing, you know, not great or poorly. But today, I mean, I thought they held their ground pretty well, you know, up until that fourth quarter because we're playing that soft coverage, you know, Gus Bradley, which in my opinion, you play that soft coverage when you have 6 to 7 minutes left. Yeah, you give up 10 yards of play, but look, they're not scoring a touchdown, yada, yada. I thought it was fine, but, you know, through three quarters, I mean, we limited them to 10 points. I thought the defense played really well today. First of all, we were without Kenny Moore, Julian Blackman, you know, Rodney Thomas, like he barely saw snaps today. We only gave up 20 points on the day. I thought that's a pretty good day, given the circumstances. We couldn't really stop them on third and long. I thought it was really weird. It felt like every third and 18, third and 19 they got, they would convert. Yeah. A lot of inconsistent tackling things we saw last week. The screenplays, like we can't stop those. I didn't understand that, but like the defensive line, they played well today. And I feel like when they do, we always get a win. So shout out to the defensive line. They got two crucial sacks on Aiden O'Connell. They were sending the pressure. Shout out to my guy, DeForest Buckner. Like, yeah, he only had one sack, but he was pressuring the quarterback like crazy. So was this entire defensive line. Can't always just go by the sacks. I did take this note. Gus Bradley did blitz today. So I do have that note down where he actually blitzed.
he did, you know, and it was crazy. I'm sure you noticed probably watching on TV, but you always knew at the game that he was about to blitz because Grant Stewart came in the game. Every time Grant came in on third down, it was a blitz. Soft coverage across the middle, and that's why they were getting those because they were sending something, and the middle was just wide open. But it was kind of obvious whenever Grant came in there, you knew what time it was. So we got to fix that in the future because very predictable with that. But nonetheless, I was glad to see the blitz was there, even though it wasn't as effective as we probably would expect it. Glad to see it was there. Keep going, dog.
I will say, I thought the Colts stadium was live. You know, I'm watching from my couch. Jamal, I don't know how that stadium was when you were in there, but I want to give a big shout out to the Indianapolis Colts fans who showed up today because everyone might not agree with me here, but three false starts on the Raiders in the first half, that, you know, you can say it's just undisciplined by the Raiders, but I feel like the crowd plays into those false starts. I've seen it before. So shout out to the fans. They were really out here today.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was jumping in there. It was jumping in there today. It was loud. It was especially, I mean, when they get the music going, everybody was getting pumped. Everybody's getting hyped. So they did what they needed to today. So shout out.
Yeah. Colts fans. Awesome. Juju Brents. He's definitely one of my defensive MVPs today. So here's the catch. Devontae Adams had 13 catches for 126 yards, but he was targeted 21 times.
Wild.
Yeah. You get one of the best receivers in the NFL that many targets, he's going to have over 100 yards. He had two touchdowns as well. Devontae Adams was having a day, but I will say Juju Brents got him on a lot of plays. He made a lot of great plays today, like a few good plays. Remember in the first quarter, he forced a pass deflection that saved them from getting a touchdown, and they ended up with a field goal. I think there was another one. Maybe it was Jalen Jones, but I thought we were making plays on the defensive side from our secondary, which, you know, with all the losses on the secondary, you're like, man, Aiden O'Connell might rip us up. But that didn't really happen. Despite when you look at the box score, you know, O'Connell threw the ball 47 times. So I can see why he has 299 yards. It just wasn't efficient to me. So shout out to the secondary for holding it down. Jalen Jones should have had that pick six.
Yeah, that was a weak call.
Yeah, I get why the refs call that. Like he grabbed his shirt one hand, you can clearly see it, but I could see the refs also not calling that in another situation. So weak DPI, you know, coming from a biased Colts fan, because that would have been a game changer in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. That I would have called probably game there just with how our defense was playing. But man, you got to give it up to this defense. I thought they were on point today. Some might not agree with me, but that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and kind of going back to what you were saying, I don't even want to call it garbage time because, I mean, obviously by the score 23-20, there was really no point of garbage time in this game. But like you mentioned, with Devontae Adams' stats and even in Aiden Hutchinson's stats, though, when it came to – or O'Connell, I'm thinking about last night's game. But
got a little too much bourbon flowing through.
Yeah, I think so. Man, it was a great time at the game. Now, but O'Connell, when he was getting these passes at the end of the game to push them downfield, we were playing real soft coverage. We're allowing, you know, we're allowing them to get these easy catches over the middle. So again, that's all those
which
numbers.
Which is fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You want them to get catches over the middle in the last 5 minutes of the game. That's gonna
clock going. Yeah.
Turn the clock.
Yeah.
Look, they're gonna let them have those 10 yard plays, 8 yard plays, because you're not gonna score fast enough to be even a threat to us later on. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea behind that soft coverage that late.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I see, and I'm sure you see that as well, Jamal.
Oh yeah, for sure. Shout out to the D. Great game overall. I mean, EJ 12 tackles, Zaire 10, Nick Cross 9. I mean, come on.
Nick Cross, baby.
What they need to do.
It ain't no Sidon no more. He here. Hey. He here to stay, baby.
Yes, sir.
He's taking over. I believe they moved Ronnie Harrison Jr. At safety as well. You know, he came in, played a little linebacker, but he's listed as a safety, so that's his normal position. You know, they're switching up. They made changes. Mm-hmm. They made changes. Our defense made changes. Of course, with some injuries as well, but I think Gus Bradley listened to us. He said, all right, I'll adapt this one time. I don't think this is happening all the time.
Yeah. That's the one and done for him. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Offense, what do you got to say, Jamal?
Hey, man, I loved how it started off with his offense. The only thing we talked about how important it was for JT to take off and have a great game. We need it to be running from the very beginning. And guess what the Colts did on that first drive? They ran the ball from the very beginning. JT looked good for the first couple plays. Then insert the young man, Mr. Josh Downs himself, that 50-yard bomb, making it look easy out here. JT capping it off. Great first drive. That momentum, that's how you go. I wish we would have kept. I'm glad we got the dub. I wish that momentum would have stayed the entire time. I want that aggressive take the entire time. I feel like it slowed down a bit once after the second drive. slowed down quite a bit. We started going more pass heavy on that stuff. But JT finished with 21 carries, 96 yards, of course, that touchdown. So he averaged 4.6. I like to think that the Braden Smith being back in there was a very comforting feeling for the offensive line. Very comforting feeling. One piece of that puzzle, again, guys, it's an accordion. So when one piece is off, it's all off. Doesn't matter. You can have four studs in there, but if one out of the five is not working, it don't matter. So now today we had a cohesive five piece in there, and it looked good overall. It looked real good. Minshew had time to throw in a lot of balls. JT was able to bust through the holes. Hey, Trey Sermon, he had a couple, that 27 yard one he had, explosive. Offense, in my opinion, was fine. I am completely fine with Minshew going 15 of 23 for 224 and a tutty. I mean, that one sack, we'll take that sack. I mean, we'll take that kind of stuff. So shout out to the O. I'm going to let you talk about your boy because I know there's somebody you want to mention in particular. So I'm going to let you have that thunder. But, yeah, shout out to the O, man. They had a hell of a game. I like it.
Hey, look. Shane Steichen was clearly the better coach in this game. Nothing against Antonio Pierce. I think he's done a phenomenal job for what was given to him. But our guy is built different. I thought there was definitely a coaching advantage here. It was clearly seen. Gardner Minshew, yes. I will say he played fine throughout most of the game. I know there was one series where I thought he should go to jail for a little bit because he messed up on all three downs. He missed that free touchdown on the second offensive drive.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone saw Alec Pierce.
My man was, there was a soul within 18,000 yards of him.
Safety did not see him at all. I mean, you have to think all these go routes that Pierce runs, and you have to wonder how many times he's actually been open this season. I guess we'd have to look at the all 22 film, but Minshew's just missed him or just doesn't feel confident. And that's going to change with Anthony Richardson when he comes back in 2024. Anthony Richardson can flick that thing with ease. 50 yards. So he's going to be looking for those big plays. But then, boy, Alec Pierce. He came to Gardner Minshew on the sideline. He said, look, you ever miss me like that again, you're going to get these hands in the locker room. And Minshew said, my bad. I got you in a couple drives next drive. Once Shane Steichen rice it up, draws it up. And then boom, what happened, Jamal? Third and one.
And I was nervous when I saw the play action. I'm not going to lie. The first thing I said was, here we go. I saw the play action and I got nervous. I got nervous. I was like, oh, damn it, what's happening? And then he let the ball go. And I'm just watching this ball float in the air in slow motion. And I'm like, oh, is it going to be overthrown? Is it going to be overthrown? Is it going to be overthrown?
It's going to be underthrown.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I saw it, and Pierce slowed down, of course. That thing hit his hands. And I said, oh, it's on and popping. He took care of the rest, man. Shout out to Pierce. That one catch, 58 yards.
Yeah, those are one of the plays where it's like the Seahawks-Patriots game. Last play of the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Russell Wilson, if he hits that thing, that little slant, and the corner doesn't intercept it, it's going to be, oh, Pete Carroll's a genius. Yep. I can't believe he drew that up right there. But if the opposite happens, which actually did happen, it is the biggest, most questionable call of any Super Bowl, any Super Bowl draw, game winning drive. But yeah, that would have been bad. Like you said, Jamal, you're like, play action, 3-1, blah, blah, blah. But it ended up being really well. And, 58 yard bomb, Steichen jaws it up. Look great. I mean, defensive coordinators, they're not, I guess they should. Maybe hope or not hope for, but like be on the lookout for those types of plays. But it's 3rd and 1. You need 1 yard to move the chains. You're not looking for a 58 yard bomb, but it happened. That's why Steichen is a genius. But shout out to Alec Pierce. One catch the entire game, but I've always pinned Alec Pierce as that deep ball specialist. He did his job. He's not going to be the guy that's going to have 10 receptions for 100 yards a game. This is what he's really good at. This is why I believe he runs the most go routes of any receiver in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. So we can't compare Alec Pierce to Michael Pittman or things like that. It's a different style of receiver. Right?
Yeah, it is. It is. And he did what he's supposed to do. Of course, as I said before, I would still like to see him get more targets. Obviously, I know you can't target him on every go, but I he's a deep ball specialist, but maybe I want to see that route tree open up a little bit more for him. I'd like to see what Reggie Wayne could do with that route tree for him. Still going deep, still, because we need somebody who's going to be able to catch the ball 30 plus yards. There's no doubt about it. 25 yards. You know, we need somebody who can get out there and do it. So I would like to see him get more targets, get more opportunities. And that's why I'm saying that if that means we have to open up his route tree a little bit more to allot him more opportunities, then yes, be it. Because there have been plenty of games where Pierce has gotten zero targets or he's gotten one target and he didn't catch it. And we're like, dang, he was a non-factor. But we can see right here with this one target he had, he made it count. So I would like to see him get three or four. Not saying he's going to catch them all, but let me see if that young man get three or four. And I know it'll probably change once Richardson is in there. You know, he can just sling that rock to him like you mentioned earlier. But I think it's out of respect thing for Pierce. You got to give him an opportunity to get a couple more targets in those games.
Yeah. I thought you were going to kill Pierce, but
nah.
I hear you. Yeah. I mean, some people think we shouldn't keep Alec Pierce long term, but we're not going to talk about that.
We'll get into that later. We'll talk about that another night. we have to do a live stream for that one.
Josh Downs, like we already talked about earlier, really big catch. He had two catches. Didn't really have to throw a lot this game. Mm-hmm. Gardner Minshew threw it 23 times. We didn't even rule the time of possession, but it was just more that we ran the ball more. We ran the damn ball. Like,
Jesus.
Yes, it happened. And Jonathan Taylor was the factor. 21 carries, 96 yards. He almost had that 100 piece we were asking for. Had the touchdown, efficient running, mm-hmm. especially in that third quarter when we were just running the ball. And Trey Sermon came in, popped off for a great run. Look, what is it? Pass the score, run to win? James Steichen said it right, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, this team looked solid today. This unit looked solid. Offensive line, I thought, played well. Blocking, not just from the offensive line, but from our wide receivers. I think that gets overlooked. Like, Michael Pittman's a good blocker. Alec Pierce is a good blocker. Like, these guys can move defenders. And Quentin Nelson, too. I'm tired of people. People, whenever Quentin Nelson has like an average game, people shit on him. And it's not fair. This man, like, especially when they get this man moving as a lead blocker, mm-hmm. Quentin Nelson be demolishing people. And y'all got to put some respect on him because my man still killing it. One of the best draft picks by Ballard. Like, I'm loving it.
All I'm going to say to that real quick is, I always mention Eric whenever we talk about this stuff like that, especially people like him. The fans have been spoiled. The Colts have been spoiled by great guard play. So when he's playing par with the rest of the league, you're like, what is this? This is garbage. When he's playing par with the rest of the league. I'm not talking about when he's playing with Zach Martin and Quentin Nelson level. I'm talking about when he's playing par with the other 64 guards, I guess it is, in the league. They're like, oh, he's playing okay. No, this dude is playing elite all the time. Even when he's playing to the par level, it's still elite play for him.
Yeah.
So we got it. Like you said, you got to keep respect on that name, man. You have to.
Yeah. And we're keeping respect on that name right here. Shout out to Quentin Nelson. I mean, shout out to this entire offensive line group. I hate to see an injury to Ryan Kelly. It's like every game we cannot have a healthy offensive line game. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be our Achilles heel. I'm hoping he's okay. But like, Ryan Kelly has been playing phenomenal this year, bounce back of a season from last year. So shout out to them. Hopefully he's healthy for next week. Cause next week is a big game. Tight end group playing pretty solid. I have to admit, I feel like Steichen, he's always trying to get them involved. And yeah. I'm talking to every tight end, not just in the blocking game, in the receiving game, all of them. Moali Cox, Colin Granson, Will Mallory. I would name one other tight end. But right now, reserve your judgment about Andrew Ogletree until all the facts come out. I like to give the benefit of doubt. We've seen this happen plenty of times where people get accused of something, or not all the facts have come out, and we just we just tear down that person. So yeah. I don't want to be that person. So we'll see what happens. But look, even without Ogletree, I think we have a pretty solid tight end group, and it's showing. Like Granson and Mallory, they're fighting over who's the best receiving tight end, because Will Mallory is he looking kind of legit.
Yeah.
Colin Granson, last game he showed out with some beautiful catches. But you know, I mean, they fine for it, and I like to see these tight ends get involved.
I agree. And yeah, especially when we think about, like you said, with Mallory and Granson, I'll be the first person to tell everybody I thought Mo Alie-Cox was going to get cut before the season started. I said, we have a tight end room full of 86 tight ends. We don't need any more. We got to start trimming the fat somewhere. And I said it. I was like, Mo's going to get cut. We got too much young blood in there to have to worry about keeping him.
He's too good of a blocker.
He's a great blocker. And I think that with the way that this team has utilize tight ends, I think he's here to stay, at least for what it's worth. But man, like it's nice to see that we have a rotation of tight ends where it's just constant. Someone can get in there and make plays. Like and we can. I feel like I know that Mallory isn't as great of a blocker, but Granson's a good blocker. Mo Alie-Cox is obviously the best blocker we have. But it's nice to see that we can kind of input any of those guys in there, and they can block for what it's worth, but they also can go out for the pass and get us these chunk, 15, 20 yard plays. So shout out to them, because I was nervous when we had a legit room of six tight ends. I'm like, what do we need all this for? I mean, it's gonna be interesting how they use Jelani when he's back. You know, if whatever happens to Ogletree, however that goes, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens across the board.
Let's just draft Brock Bowers in the first round
and listen, dog.
Increase competition within the tight end group. I think that would be perfect. I think that would be great.
Let's take the young man.
Yeah. I will say special teams, they got some work to do. No, I'm not calling for Brian Mason's head, but they got some work to do. Roughing the kicker cannot happen. That really sucks. EJ Speed, I will say, is a boneheaded play. Because that killed another great defensive series by the Colts, and that led to points for them. Mm-hmm. So don't like that. I don't like Josh Downs fair catching it on our own 6-yard line. Punt. You just let that thing go, and hopefully we can get a touchback out of it. But because whether we're at the 6 or the 3, I don't really care, because we're already backed up into our end zone. But I just small tweaks to the special teams unit. Mm-hmm. That's all we got to do. Matt Gay, he got a mulligan, but he that's all I'm going to say. He got a mulligan. He 100% never. He got a mulligan at that time. I don't want to talk bad about him.
He was batting 1,000 pregame, and that's why I was like shocked when he missed that, because pregame, I mean, he was hitting it from the 50 on both sides, and I was like, okay, all right, he's looking good. So I was a little shocked when that happened.
Matt Gay, I'll be honest, he's not playing up to his contract. He's not. And y'all might not agree with me on that, but he's shooting every 5 field goals, he's missing one. That's not great. That's not great. 81.1%. That's not great for accuracy standpoint. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was one of the most accurate kickers like in the league when we signed him. So this just isn't great. But that was probably one of the not obvious sore spots today. Is like, it's a 50 yarder. Matt Gay can hit this. Like he's done this plenty of times in his career, and it just didn't work out. But then he got to go again. But that's what I'm worried about, because this, we're going to be using Matt Gay a lot. This offense will stall out, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a big powerhouse offense with Mischu leading it, but that's why Matt Gay has got to come in and get us some points,
Oh, for sure.
But hey, shout out to this team, Indianapolis Colts. Demolished the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't care if it's a 3-point game.
Raider Nation, bro. Yeah,
Raider Nation, bro. Nah, dude, hold on. Let me. Can I read some of these comments?
That were talking greasy.
Yeah, it was really weird too. I mean, all publicity is good publicity for our podcast, though. I will say
for sure.
But I mean, they came in like a swarm. It was crazy. Raiders. There's only one nation, Raiders Nation. It's always been Raiders Nation. Did we even We didn't even talk bad about them.
Nah, we respected them. We was like, yeah, they playing real good right now. Oh, why are you talking nice about me? Calm down.
Leo Pierce, I even said, I was like, wow, he's done a great job with this team. Like, it's been crazy. But I guess they heard Colts Nation, and it went went what? In 1 year, out the other. They started formulating their thoughts. They was like, yo, fuck the Colts. Colts Nation, what a joke. Well, we didn't lose on Sunday. People, what else? Colts Nation, oh my God, how sad. It's just like, this is what creates a bad fan base. And I won't forget this. I don't like Raiders fans anymore because they're the only team that's done this on a Colts podcast. I don't know. That's just something. It stuck out. And I was waiting. It wasn't an if. I said, when the Colts beat the Raiders, I'm going to come in with this fire, baby. And it's just funny. So you guys are in my top three most hated NFL fan bases now. So congratulations.
Grand opening, grand closing.
All right. You got anything else, Jamal?
That's it for me, man. Let's roll into the new year with a dub. How about that? With a
dub. 2024, here we come, because we about to make a Super Bowl run. You know what I'll say? Let me stop talking before I jinx us for Houston next week. Hey, that's going to be it for us, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Colts Cast. We're live on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and platform. You can listen to podcasts, and we'll be back next time to give you some more Indianapolis Colts content.
Take care. Happy New Year. Enjoy it.